Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips and a brand new series. I'm starting a series of 12 classes. It's actually 10 classes with an introduction and a conclusion, and I've called it They Tell of the Glory of Your Kingdom and Speak of Your Might. That's Psalm 145, verse 11. Bit of a mouthful for a title, but I think it expresses what I'm hoping we will be focusing on in this series. They tell of the glory of your kingdom, God, and speak of your might. So what is this? It is a preaching and teaching class series for anybody, older or younger Christian, experienced or less experienced speaker, on some of the basics of preaching and teaching. I think, though, there are going to be things here for everybody, no matter how long you've been doing this in public. In this course, we're going to cover some of the basics for both preparation and presentation of biblical lessons. And the idea is that we'll all come out of this better equipped and more effective in our preaching and teaching. Now, the inspiration for this idea came from the Philippines, came from Jose Victor Hugo III from Baguio City in the Philippines. And I apologize, Jose, because I'm sure I've said your name wrong. And I've probably offended all the citizens of Baguio City because I probably pronounced that wrong too. So I apologize for that. But he asked me recently if I could put a series of classes together on preaching and teaching to help their Bible talk leaders and others to just grow in their ability to preach and teach God's word effectively. And it coincided with some thinking I'd had about refreshing some of my old videos that I did 10 or more years ago on this kind of topic. And so here we are, the introductory class today. Now, there's 10 main classes, which I won't go over now. I'll put those in the show notes. Today, though, I would like to talk about why we preach and teach and in what is our confidence. It's said that maybe as many as 3 billion sermons have been preached since the days of Jesus. I have no idea how they calculated that, but even if it's close to being accurate or not, we for sure there have been many, many, many sermons. Some of them have been life-changing. Some of them have been appalling and put people off the Christian way. How can we get better at communicating God's word? In fact, really, revealing God through his word, both to those who believe in him and those who don't. See, most people think that preaching and teaching is about competency. It's about knowledge. It's about having an exemplary Christian walk. But it's not. If I know anything about preaching and teaching after all these decades, it's that preaching is more about hunger, a hunger for God's word and a hunger to communicate it. It's more about having a connection with God that you want other people to enjoy. It's more about having a compassion for people, knowing they need to be fed. So it's more about hunger, connection, and compassion. It's not about competency and knowledge and being a super Christian. Now, here's the thing. God is a preacher. Have you thought about this? God is a preacher and a teacher. And so is Jesus. I mean, he had many titles in the Gospels, but one of them was teacher. God is a communicator. He's always communicating, sometimes directly, but often through his prophets and other people. God's a communicator. Jesus is a communicator. The Holy Spirit is a communicator. And indeed, I don't think of myself that much, really, as a preacher or a teacher. And I'd encourage most of us not to really label ourselves in that way, but instead to consider ourselves to be communicators of God's word. Or if you like, co-communicators with God of his word to people who will listen. You're a communicator. You're not a preacher or a teacher. That's who you really are, a communicator. Think about that. It might be worth discussing that with friends to see how that lands for you, what that means for you, and how that connects. Now, let's think about God's word itself. 3 scriptures I'd like to share with you today that might be useful to meditate on. Firstly, Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Not a small hammer, not one you could hold in your hand, one that breaks a rock, a big rock in pieces, a rock-destroying hammer. That's God's word, a fire. Or what about Isaiah 55, a passage that meant a lot to me before I ever did any preaching or teaching. I remember reading this passage when I was a much younger man, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." See how God's word is always fruitful, as far as God is concerned. And then Hebrews 4:12. "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It's like a sword. Let me show you one of my special possessions here. It's this samurai sword. I was privileged to go to Tokyo a few years ago to preach and teach. And Takeshi gave me this as a gift to come back with. And it's on my windowsill here. I love looking at this thing and reminding me of that great trip. Here it is, my samurai sword. What about that for a sword? I mean, it's not very sharp. It's not meant to be used like a sword, but it's heavy, it's solid. And if a burglar came in and tried to harm me, I could do them some damage with this thing. I mean, I hope I never would need to, but I could certainly defend myself with it. This is quite some sword, isn't it? An amazing thing. You put it safely back in its scabbard and lay it on the desk here. But God's word is like a sword. It's sharp. Think about these images. God says, "This is my word." I mean, it looks a bit blunt here, doesn't it? This book. But he says it's like a fire, like a rock-destroying hammer. It's always fruitful, never fails to bear fruit. And it's like a sword. You see, we need to have confidence in this, not in this. God does not need the eloquent. He needs the willing. God does not need the talented. He needs the humble. Let me tell you the first time I ever spoke in public in church. I didn't speak much in public as a child. I once took part in a school debate when I was 17, I think. It was a disaster. I didn't make sense to myself, let alone to the audience. And I vowed then I will never speak in public ever again. Fast forward a few years, I become a follower of Jesus Christ. And someone says to me, "Malcolm, could you do a 5-minute lesson on a Wednesday night?" And I said, "No, you must be joking. Of course I can't." And they said, I was a young Christian. And in that culture, that context at that time, you can't really say no. So I said, they said, "You must do it." I said, "Well, all right." And I thought, I'll do it once. And I'll do it so badly, they will never ask me again. So I spoke on 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23, becoming all things to all men. Why do I remember it, even though it was over 30 years ago? Because I was terrified. I was shaking. I thought I was going to literally throw up. So I spoke for 5 minutes on 1 Corinthians 9, 23, and I thought that would be the end of the matter. They will not ask me again. Little did I know, they came back and said, "Yes, please speak again." I was terrible. I was terrible forever. I was terrible for months, for years. I still don't think I'm very good a lot of the time, but I've grown and learned. I've grown and God has helped me. The way you begin is not the way you may end. You may start in weakness, but then God can still use you to do something powerful. Two things took me to where I am today, apart from the grace of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, and a lot of prayer on my part. But two other things have helped me to get to where I'm sitting here now being asked to teach you on preaching and teaching when I was so bad back in those days. But two things have helped me. Number one, a deep conviction that the most powerful thing I have is this. This is the most powerful thing I have. The most powerful thing is not the church. The most powerful thing is certainly not me. The most powerful thing is what I don't know. What else could it be? This is the most powerful thing. I may be weak. I may be inadequate in my own eyes. But if I've got this, well, this is the power. That's the first conviction. And the second was that I had people who were willing to give me a chance and believed in me and allowed me some space and time to learn and to train. So I think if you have those two things, you'll go a long way in becoming effective at teaching and preaching God's word. You need that deep conviction about the power, and you need a few people that will support you while you're learning. You've got those two things and you pray, well, you can be as effective as you possibly can. God will use you. You might as well proceed on the assumption you were called to try to speak until someone tells you otherwise. And when someone does tell you otherwise, like, I don't think you should be doing much more speaking, don't let one person make the decision. Make sure you get at least two other people to confirm that opinion. You don't trust just the one person. So, two questions for you to discuss in your workshop settings and to think about and pray over, and then a few final thoughts. First question. Do you believe that you can be effective in teaching and preaching God's word? In your own heart, do you believe that you can be effective in preaching and or teaching God's word? What do you really think in yourself? Share that with somebody. Be honest. Be open. Maybe you have confidence. Maybe you don't. But what do you really think about that? And secondly, what would convince you either way? How would you really be sure that you were called to preach and teach or that you were not called to preach and teach? What would be the necessary evidence that would convince you yes or convince you no? That's something to talk about together, because sometimes we have the wrong idea about these things. So to conclude, I rather like one of the definitions of preaching that I heard someone say a few years ago now. Maybe I read it in a book. That this person was asked, what is preaching? And they said this, three words. Truth through personality. Truth through personality. I like that because the truth never changes, but it sounds different when it comes through different personalities. In other words, different people connect with different people who preach and teach because they're saying things that are true, but in a slightly different way because of their own experience, their own personality, their own character, just who they are. And that's why we need a variety of preachers and teachers, because you can connect with different people at different times in their lives as you bring God's truth, which never changes, through personality, which differs globally. We're all so very different and we need each other and we need to hear from lots of different people. Truth through personality. Yours is unique. People need to hear the truth through your personality. Let's face it. God has no other method of getting his truth to the world other than through you and me. He does not put up big neon signs in the sky. He does not use Instagram. He uses you and me, preachers and teachers with personality, to convey his truth to this world. That's how God does it. He's never done it any other way. So you have no right to dismiss the potentiality of your calling unless others agree. What you do have is a great privilege. What an incredible privilege it is to be able to hold this, to be able to open it, to be able to bring it to people and see what God's fire does, what God's hammer does, the fruit that it bears, to see the way the sword operates as we see it, as we hear it, as we see the fruit of it. What an amazing thing that is. What an incredible privilege. Every time I get up to preach or teach, I'm overawed by how fortunate I am to be able to do this. And so since you have that privilege, make the most of it. Make the most of it, perhaps in this series, by learning how to better prepare lessons and how better to present them. At least experiment and give it a go, no matter how nervous and unconfident you may feel. God's given you this privilege. And let's make the most of it. Whether we're in Watford or the Philippines or wherever we are, let's give God's word a chance to work through our mouths to go into the hearts and minds of the people around us. I'll finish with one more verse from our theme psalm, Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Remember, this isn't just about you and me. This isn't just about 2020 and the people who are around and alive today. It's about the next generation of followers of Jesus. It's about the next generation of younger people coming up behind me, perhaps behind you. It's not just for now. It's for the next generation and the one after that. The way that we preach and teach now will strongly shape the faith and the passion for God of the people coming up behind us and with us. So let's do our best to be as effective as we can at preaching and teaching God's word. Let us tell of the glory of God's kingdom and speak of his might. I hope this has been helpful. If you've got any thoughts about the next class or the ones to come or any questions, please drop me a line, Malcolm Cox Malcolm at malcolmcox.org is the email, or you can contact me via my website, malcolmcox.org. And I do hope that you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.